Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic retailers, business owners, and ministry leaders. Don't miss the Catholic Marketing Network Momentum 2019 event. Attend seminars that teach how to apply best business practices to any kind of business or ministry. Experience one-of-a-kind networking opportunities and browse the trade show exhibit hall full of Catholic resources and gifts from all over the world. Visit CatholicMarketing.com trade show page to find out how you can be a part of this event that helps Catholics build personal and professional momentum. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. I have a question for you. When we prepare the podcast and talk on the podcast, we speak about the gospel. How often do you kind of talk about the same thing in the homily?
I would say that probably never. So things happen between the recording and the day of the actual homily. Nothing would be like the opposite of what we say here. And many times you have ideas that inspire me. I hope that the opposite happens also.
That's correct.
Then there is the other aspect of this is that you know that I like to preach on series sometimes. So for instance, during Easter, I didn't feel like I was contributing much to a couple of podcasts we have because the readings were difficult. But at the parish, we had a whole series on the spirit of Easter. And qualities of the spirit of Easter, qualities, attributes of the spirit of Easter. So the homilies were very different.
Yeah.
Maybe the exegetical work, the interpretation was similar and probably part of it would go into the homily, but the purpose, the outcome of the homily was completely different.
What I appreciate about the podcast, getting together and talking about this. So I've thought about the gospel in advance because we are recording a little in advance sometimes. So I've thought about that. I have notes in my folder here. And then when I come to that weekend, it informs what I think about. So sometimes it's a really good thought. Usually it's one of your thoughts that I might adopt.
Thank you. Thank
you. The homily. But usually something different because I'm kind of paranoid about repeating myself ever. So I don't want someone who's heard the podcast to hear the same thought in a homily. I want to be a little more creative than that. So
my best compliment.
I generally don't. The quick answer is I generally don't repeat.
My best compliment for you would be that sometimes I have these badly articulated thoughts that I am so amazed that without any preparation, you listen to what I say and you turn it into something that sounds good.
Mm.
And this has happened so many times. That would be, for me, the main thing, which is something that because I don't have it, I guess I admire.
Well, you have really good insights sometimes into those scripture passages that, for me, have become a little... Sometimes I'll say, oh, the passage kind of speaks for itself, so what can I add to this? You add a really good, unique perspective to that adds something. And now I have an idea to say a little bit more about it.
But then it's a little rough and you normally put it together very well. Anyway.
Well, let's look at another long gospel. So
Yes. We've
had fun the last few weeks now with these gospels. They've been good, and I think this will be another one. I'll read it. Where am I going to read from?
You're reading still from Luke, cycle C, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test him and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, "Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back." Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Let me just back up to 2 weeks ago. We had so much to say. I think there was a pretty important point there that was made about Samaria. There was a mention of...
And we didn't say anything, yeah.
So Samaria would be a location, and generally there was hostility with the Jews. Mm-hmm. So Jesus and his disciples are traveling, and in fact, I think, I can't remember if they avoided that area or if...
The Samaritans don't like that Jesus is going through because he's going to Jerusalem, which is the core of the question.
Right.
The Samaritans... They really are cousins of the Jewish people. I mean, it's not like that different, but sometimes big controversies happen with similar cultures, right?
Exactly. And I just want to go to what I think is so very interesting here, which is that Jesus uses as an example of the person who did the right thing here, the example of a Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who just very recently would be classified with a group that is not friendly to Jesus or to his background.
Not to Jesus, to the Pharisee mainly, to the Pharisees, that would be the people who would contend that Samaritans were wrong. What we know is that these were marginalized people. If you are in Jewish territory, a Samaritan would be... That's a very interesting question for you and for anybody. Who would be the Samaritan for you?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So think about that. Think about the Samaritan in her life. And I wouldn't use the word enemy necessarily, but someone for whom seems foreign to us or different than us. And
someone who feels less to you.
Sure.
I think more than an enemy, the Jewish people felt that the Samaritans were inferior, I think. I think that's the conclusion. I think that's what Jesus would say. And who would that be in our lives? And it's a very tough question because then somebody could say, like, the question about, do I have enemies? Oh, of course I don't. If you don't have enemies, maybe it's because you don't stand up for anything. We've said this before. I don't think you can say to this question, oh, no, I love everybody. And we know that race, sexual orientation, finances, where someone comes from, accents maybe. Well, some people say that an accent is a very fancy thing, but I have experienced situations where an accent is not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Comments from people, parishioners, or going to a bank and everything is fine until they hear your accent and then the person gets a little nervous or tense suddenly. So who would be that Samaritan for us? That's a great question for this gospel.
But not only that, so I take it further. Whoever that Samaritan is, imagine them doing good. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's what's really bold about this, to think about this, to think about who that Samaritan is in our life in whatever kind of way you want to describe that. But for someone for whom there's maybe a little bit of distance or tension, socially speaking, but imagine them doing good, because that's who Jesus is held up here as the person who did the right thing over a whole lot of other people who had maybe societal roles, a priest, a Levite, but it's the Samaritan traveler who is moved with compassion. And
not only a Samaritan, but traveling also, someone without an investment on that, you know?
Someone used a really interesting term that I've been thinking about a lot for a number of weeks. In fact, it was my spiritual director. I was speaking about someone that I had some struggles with and thinking about reconciliation, and it had been some time. And he said, you know what you've done is what a lot of us do. You've fossilized the person.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fossil. And it's a really interesting way. Yeah, really interesting way to describe it. You're thinking of this person from 2 years ago and in the exact same way. And this person over 2 years probably has grown, probably has changed. And, you know, and you're in a different place as well. But you've had this kind of fossilized version of everything you don't like about this person and they might not like about you.
think about that in terms of, again, those we struggle with, whether it be enemies or others. I think sometimes we can fossilize them and forget that people change mm-hmm. and they become different as time goes on.
Not to say the obvious, which is about stereotypes. We all have stereotypes and we prejudge people according to what we see they look like or what they say or what, you know, and that's part of the problem. The other thing I think I wanted to say, the key here for you, what would be the worst sin in Jesus' book?
Good question.
I would answer hypocrisy.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about that. I was thinking of
and
other
it's part of the dynamics going on in this story. This teacher of the law, this Pharisee who is testing Jesus. Remember, when they test Jesus, they don't care about they want to catch
right.
him on something.
Right.
And Jesus is showing him how hypocritical it is that one is a priest, the other one I don't know how it was described. But
yeah,
these two are hypocritical because they are not responding to what they are supposed to be. And it's a problem we have as priests. We know that how many times we have been hypocritical also, or a church as well. So it's part of this story.
Oh, sure. Sometimes even our most involved parishioners as well.
Really?
Kind of meet them in a different context or outside, and it sort of takes you back.
What I have seen many times is a lot of meanness. I don't know if that's a word.
Meanness,
in
yeah.
In church, sometimes in meetings, I admit that it riles me up. I mean, it's something that it's difficult for me to handle. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to say is that the Samaritan, the key for the Samaritan is to be moved with compassion, which mm-hmm. is how Jesus describes the Samaritan, and it's how the Gospels will describe Jesus, someone able to be moved with compassion, be moved with mercy. How hypocritical it is for the Pharisee to ask, who is my neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
And then because the Samaritan is a traveler, the neighbor is not the physical neighbor. Who is my neighbor means who becomes my neighbor. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a much more dynamic concept, I believe.
Moved with compassion, moved with mercy. That's the key. Are we able to be moved at all?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we so stubborn and stuck in our ways that we're not able to change our minds? There's such intolerance in so many ways in today's world, whether it be against religion sometimes or against particular philosophical ways of thinking. Or it's funny, sometimes we like to take on the term tolerance, but there's really an intolerance because mm-hmm. we're intolerant of anyone who disagrees with us. But are we willing to be moved, to change our mind?
Yeah, the epidemics of our times is also, and I don't know how to pronounce this word, so you are going to help me, sure. Insensitive, but we are like, I don't know how to say it. We see so many things, so much stuff, so much bad stuff that at some point...
Desensitized.
That's what I wanted to say. I think
yeah.
it's part of what's going on. We see so much violence in movies and in the news are always bad news and everything that I think that comes to a point where another shooting in a school, well, another shooting in a synagogue, well, you know, but it worries me that we are becoming a little...
Desensitized
to things that happen.
Right.
I think the key to compassion, the key to the Samaritan is that he's able to be moved. And the end of the gospel, fantastic. Go and do likewise. That's it.
Right.
Go
yeah.
and do it.
It's a great simple phrase
yeah.
and go and do likewise. And remember, mercy is not deserved.
Yeah.
You know, mercy is not earned. It's not deserved. Treat others with mercy and go and do likewise.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great way to wrap up just that great last line from Jesus and to us, go and do likewise.
It's the title of a book, one of these books that I don't remember the book, but I do remember the title, Go and Do Likewise.
Yeah.
The former rector of the seminary, the late Andy Nelson, recommended, and I would have to look for it in my little library, but that would be a good opportunity to check the book, see how well the book has aged,
right?
Like movies that age also, but Go and Do Likewise. Wonderful dynamic, command, which we hear it today, and that's what our faith is all about.
So please head to Mass this weekend, grace community with your presence, and be there as we engage in this gospel, as we celebrate the Eucharist.
So see you next Wednesday, Philip.
All right, we'll see you then.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.